Beverly Hills. I am Ted Bell, and I'm going to join Phil for the next few minutes. We're going to talk something that I love. I love it dearly. It's called college football. Come on down. Watch a game at Ted to Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted.
That's right. Every night.
You want to put our meat in your mouth.
There you go. Every night we're down here. I'm in my office right now, Phil. Phil Henry is there.
I'm right here, Ted. I'm sorry. I was just collecting. I was actually got a couple of good things up here on the computer screen so that we can take a look at this. I had a very interesting conversation. By the way, welcome, folks, back to the program. Ted Bell, one of our sponsors, is joining us here. People were asking about you, Ted. Said, where were you?
You mean on the radio show?
Yeah.
Oh, we have not been neglecting Phil Henry. For all the fans out there that enjoy the segments that I do on Phil's show, we have had some remodeling that we're doing at Ted's Beverly Hills. I think people that come in to enjoy some of the juiciest steaks, some of the tenderest meat, and, of course, the Ted and the baked potato tree, the serrated steak knives, all the things that we developed, which, of course, our baked potatoes are wrapped in foil. What do you want? Hold on, Phil. I'm so sorry. What do you want? Park the cars around back. I told you. We have a lot of people coming in tonight, Phil, as sort of a pre-Thanksgiving festivities going on here in Ted's Beverly Hills and the surrounding areas here in Southern California. And as a result of great advertising we've done on your program, we've got a lot of people coming in from out of the area, out of the area, suburban Los Angeles, and they're driving cars that, as you know, we have a policy on what we valet here and what we don't, and I've asked tonight and tonight only, if you show up in a truck or something, that we don't really want to see anywhere around our restaurant, we will park it in the back.
Well, we need to get people to understand. You don't park trucks and you don't park old cars.
What we do is we like to keep up front, as any restaurant would, as I'm sure you've seen at the nicer hotels. Now, I know you drive a Jaguar, Phil, because I've gone places with you, and every time you valet that, they always park it up front because it looks all, great and good for you. My BMW, for whatever reason, and I think it's because it is candy apple red, and I always wear a red baseball cap with the top down when I drive that.
Do you drive that BMW all the time?
Yes, I do, unless, of course, I've got Marcy's car, which is a black Mercedes, but I drive my red BMW, but I'll only drive the red BMW with the top down wearing a red ball cap.
And why do you do that?
Well, it's a signature statement. I think anyone that knows Ted Bell and they know Ted's of Beverly Hills, they know my signature moves. That's one of my signature moves, is what that is. So, I would simply say having said everything that I've said, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, you better believe this, that if I park my own car, if I see myself coming in, and this is kind of a weird way of putting it, but if I see myself coming in, I will have my car parked up front because I think my car looks good, and I will tell myself as I come in for dinner. I know that sounds very confusing.
Yeah, Ted, I think you can just simply say you like the look of your car and you would put it up front.
No, but I also am saying to Phil and to the audience, if I were a customer.
Okay, if you see a customer come in with a red BMW.
No, I'm sorry. It's been a busy... I'm in the office here. I don't want to go anywhere near the restaurant tonight. I'm in the office in the back because I can't go out there. I don't want to go... It's so busy and so hectic, and there's so many people coming in tonight that I don't want to see.
Like who?
Well, the Dooleys, And,
oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Don't let her find out that you're avoiding her.
In any event... what I'm saying is, if I came in, not any red BMW, if some guy, with all due respect, Phil, I love you, but if you came to my restaurant in a red BMW, I wouldn't park that anywhere near my restaurant. I'd send it down the street. I'd send you down the street to the public lot, and I'd say, I'm sorry, sir, I can't park that here. I won't do it. I can't have it. You park it over there in that public lot, and then you walk up here and get your drink and your steak, and then get out, because I...
And then get out. What kind of a statement is that?
I don't mean then get out. I'm sorry. I just it's a hectic night, so I'm using a little bit of shorthand.
All right. So only a red BMW owned and driven by Ted Bell.
That's pretty much yeah. And I don't want to sound elitist, but I would not. I think the red BMW is good for me. I think it's a beautiful car. But if I don't see me in it, I hate it. You know what I mean?
Well, how can you see yourself in it, Ted? You're not talking about standing across the street.
No, but I see... When I see myself driving a red BMW, I can see myself as if I am standing across the street. not inside of it. When I say I see myself in a car, I always want to see myself in a car as if I'm standing on the street and I'm driving by.
I got you. Okay.
All right, so you understand?
Yes.
Well, you sure? Because it sounds like you're sort of wanting to move me along, like I'm making you nervous.
No. I do want to get into the football.
Gee, it is kind of weird, though.
Who said that?
Bud did.
Hey, Dickman, let me tell you something. The only thing weird around here is the fact that you got a job on the Phil Henry Show, okay? That's weird.
I'm just saying, you're sitting there looking at yourself.
I'm not looking at myself. I'm imagining seeing myself.
You don't need to explain it, Ted. We understand. I understand, but I'm sure you understand if you think about it long enough, and you will. All right, now let's get into football. I know Coach Dozier is going to be calling us in a few minutes because we want to talk about the rankings, and I know that the Teds of Beverly Hills college football season is big. I know the Dumphy brothers... have not been kind to you.
Oh, God, the Dunphy brothers are a couple of guys. I've known these guys since college, and they're both terrific guys. They're both in the insurance business. They come in on during the football season. I only see them during the college football season. They don't watch the pro games, but they always bet these college games, and they come into the Prime Rib Room, which is of course, our lounge, and they will spend, they come in at about 12:30, and we open the doors for lunch at 11:30. The Dunphy brothers come in at 12:30, and they sit, and we have all the games, Phil, because we've got the DirecTV satellite, and I've also got the old-school dish out back here that one of these days I'm going to auction this thing off it, so everybody comments on it.
You got the old dish that pulls in all the signals the way they used to?
Oh, yeah. I don't mess with it anymore. Every now and again, Rudy will look at it and try to pull something in on it. But it was very squirrely, those satellite dishes, the way they used to be. DirecTV is great, and they've got a great complement of games. The Dumphies will come in here at about 12:30, and they park it at the bar right near that furthest television set we have over the bar at the south end.
Yeah.
They will park it there until 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm telling you this, and I'm telling you straight, I watch them drink from 12:30 until 10, and they never, ever look like they've had too much.
Are you kidding? These are the two guys. I wonder if I've seen them.
I don't think you have. I know Frank has. Frank knows them. But these guys are serious about their football.
Sounds like they're serious about their booze. I mean, they don't look inebriated?
No. They get a little exuberant, but there's nothing. I mean, when the games get tight and close, you know, they're jumping up and down and screaming and using all kinds of four-letter words. I had to tell them to calm down one Saturday because we had a whole table full of people in from this local church. They'd had a big confab of some of these local church people, you know, very religious conservative Christian types, you know?
Yeah.
And we had an overflow in the dining room, so we were seating people in the Prime Rib Room. And,
You said Prime Rib Room.
What?
You went Prime Rib Room.
Okay, bud. Ted's racing a little bit.
I said, what did he just say?
He said you said Prime Rib Room.
No, I did not say Prime. Did I say that?
You were racing a little bit. You probably... You know.
All right. Well, okay. If I say, but it's prime rib room, then that's what it is. Okay.
I thought it was prime rib room.
It is prime rib room now. But when I said it was prime rib room, I changed the name temporarily to that. Okay. So I don't need you to comment anymore. Is what the point that I'm making here?
You know what I mean?
No. You don't need to comment anymore. I changed the name to prime rib room, just to see if you could shut up, and you didn't. It was a test. So I may call it that again.
All right, Ted. We understand, all right?
What's this we? You got a rocket in your pocket or something? I'm talking to the brains over there.
Don't be cruel to him. He heard you say something. He likes to correct people. He does it with me.
Ted, that's very, very rude of you.
What's everybody jumping on me for all of a sudden? I'm trying to...
You know, Sam, I've got all kinds of people crying on this show. You going to be number 533 here this week?
What are you doing?
Let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, you do that.
Ted Bell is feeling upset because I yelled at him. How about that? World-famous Phil Henry Show, we will be back right after these messages.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Didn't do anything wrong.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
This is Ted Bell, and thank you, Phil, for having me on the program. I've got a little upset there. I'd like you all to come down for college football. We've got the Teds of Beverly Hills, Teds, and we have the baked potato.
You have the baked potato in tin foil, right, Ted?
Well, it's aluminum foil now. It's not tin foil, but essentially that's what we have. We invented that. I apologize for getting emotional, Phil, but I was trying to tell Bud something, and he jumped down my throat. You know, I run this restaurant, and I run my restaurant the way I run my life, and it's worked for me, Phil, and that is that everyone does what I tell them to do. And that may sound egotistical, and it may sound controlling.
It does a little bit. Does Marcy?
Marcy knows I love my wife very much, and she loves me, and I've given her a great life. And in return, she gives me allegiance, her loyalty. I truly believe that Marcy, if anyone tried to hurt me, if anyone tried to hurt, obviously, our son, if anyone tried to hurt our son, I don't even want to see the body after that, you know. I wouldn't even want to go near what happens to the guy that hurts our son after Marcy gets done with him. But if anyone tried to hurt me, I think she would be on them like white on rice. I think she'd be all over them like one of did you ever see the Blob, how the Blob grabbed a guy's, you know, it was on a guy's arm and turned it into a skeleton arm?
In the Blob? Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, that Marcy would be all over a guy like the Blob, just congealed, you know. So I think that in exchange for the loyalty that she gives me, I give her a great life, a beautiful home, a beautiful son. And that, I think, is the way to go in life. Now, the reason why I was talking about the Prime Rib Room and the Dumphy Brothers, Phil, is that we are going to be watching college football this weekend. And so I do have my rankings up here if you wanted to ask me anything.
Well, we have been looking at the rankings. As a matter of fact, I have them on Phil TV and HD. All right. I want to ask you about Alabama. Alabama is number one. They're 8-0. And obviously, we had just read a story about them being, you know, the bad boys on the block. Tell me a little bit about Alabama.
Well, Alabama, like a lot of those Southeastern Conference teams, I think there's something that's not quite what meets the eye. Look, they beat up on a team like Colorado State. Now, who did Colorado State beat? Cal Poly, UTEP, Wyoming, and Hawaii. Woo! Boy, I'll tell you, that's some badass opponent there. Colorado State. They kicked the living crap out of Arkansas 52-0. This is how they beat Arkansas, Phil. 52-0, if you can believe that. Now, let's take a look at Arkansas's record. Well, let's see. They beat Louisiana Lafayette. That's a powerhouse. Samford, another powerhouse. Southern Miss. And then they lost to Rutgers. They lost to... Now, these are all ranked teams that they lose to. Number 11, Auburn. Number 1... but they lose big. I mean, they lost to Alabama 52-0. They lost to Carolina, one of the two. It's either South or North. Which one's good and which one isn't?
They lost to South Carolina.
Okay. I mean, I just, you know, I'm just emotional tonight.
You know, Ted, I'm sorry to say this, but it sounds like you almost sound like a woman who's on her period.
Is that right?
Oh, man.
Well, that is ridiculous that he hangs up.
Well, it was also a comment that probably, it doesn't matter to me. I mean,
where'd he hang up?
He hung up because Margaret insulted him, I guess.
I did not mean that as an insult.
Well, I mean, you're saying you sound like you're on your period. Any man, you're going to feel very insulted by that.
He's right, you know.
Well, I'm sorry.
I mean, good Lord, Margaret, you know. And you know Ted, he's got an ego the size of the world. You know, he thinks he's it in a bag of chips. So, he was saying some pretty interesting stuff there, though. I thought South Carolina beat up on Arkansas 52-7. These are all ranked teams, but I think the point that he was trying to make is that you've got an Alabama football team, very good football team, nonetheless, an Alabama football team that has on its schedule, like a lot of these schools, real chump change, lightweight ball clubs, you know.
Well, if they're all playing chump change, lightweight ball clubs, then it is sort of...
Yeah, it's kind of equal, ain't it?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a point. You know, that's a point. I mean, if everybody is, if the playing field is equal in this manner, that you got a lot of big teams playing a lot of little teams, then, yeah, I suppose the playing field is equal. You know, we beat up Austin, PA, 52-0, and you beat up UTEP or whoever, you know, 52-7, so I suppose it's all equal.
Yeah, but those two teams, what do they rank?
I think when you get down to what would be the ranking of an Austin, PA overall in college football, it doesn't matter. I don't think that there's as much difference between these schools. Now, here's University of Central Florida. Do you know that I remember when I started my radio career in Orlando, Florida, back in 1973? And when I started my career in Orlando, man, there wasn't nothing there, Jack. I mean, my father used to kid that it was a wide spot in the road. That's what my father called Orlando. It was a little town in the middle of Florida, and they had just built this thing called Disney World, which was this monstrosity of an entertainment complex right next to this sleepy burg that had nothing going for it. I mean, it had a beautiful little town, as far as beautiful little towns go. I mean, there's some that are more beautiful, others that are not quite, but they had, you know, Orlando had its charming places, but you ain't going to go there and party. And all of a sudden with Disney World, boom, everything starts to take off. Now, at the time, I was hanging out with people who were my age. You know, I started in Florida in radio when I was 19, so I'm hanging out with other 19-year-olds, and they were going to either Florida when they were, you know, graduating from high school. They were either going to Florida, or a lot of them were going out to this new campus called the University of Central Florida. And back then, it was just a middle-sized school. It wasn't anything. I don't even think they had a football team.
What about, like, the Tangerine Bowl and everything like that?
The Tangerine Bowl existed, but it wasn't a bowl. It was, like, one big grandstand and a little tiny grandstand. And now with two grandstands facing each other with a really cheap-looking scoreboard, and right next to it was a minor league baseball field where the Orlando Twins played. And that was it. And so the years roll by, and as I was in town doing my thing in radio, I was there for about maybe 2-3 years, you saw things starting to get bigger, and there was these bond proposals floated, and hey, why don't we build the stadium bigger, and oh, we, you know, they're going to get a pro football team in Tampa, what about Orlando, blah, 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 all this bull crap. And the next thing you know, man, I move out of town, and I move on with my life, and I turn around. The first big news I heard out of Florida was a kid out of Orlando was a kid by the name of Houston McTeer. Does anybody know this name?
I know that's the kid who broke the world record.
That's exactly right. This kid in like 1979, 1980, 81, I forget the year, broke the world 100-meter record. A high school guy out of Eatonville High. I think he was going to Eatonville High School. And I may be wrong. I think he ran in bare feet.
Well, that's that, you know, that, oh, the barefoot country boy thing. How do you know that's true?
I don't know. I thought I read that.
You probably thought you read it on account of everything's rustic.
Yeah.
Everything's rustic. No, it ain't that rustic. It was, you know, it's a city, nonetheless, you're right. It was Eatonville High, which was a very small and very rather poor high school. But nonetheless, this kid made world news, and it was out of Orlando, Florida. But as the times changed and went on, next thing you know, they got this pro basketball team there. The Magic came to town, and now this University of Central Florida, this thing's a monster.
It's a big school.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just took a look online at their campus and the football stadium. Good Lord, who would have known? Who would have thought? So it's a major school, and there they are ranked in the top 25 of college football teams, 6-1, and you know, I wonder if did they play Alabama?
I'm gonna look right now. I don't know if they did. They played. Here are the teams: Akron, FIU, Penn State, South Carolina, Memphis, Louisville, Connecticut. What?
Those are cheap schools, man. How do they get ranked on that?
Well, they're 19, man, so it ain't like nobody's making them number one. But yeah, they're playing some funky Akron. FIU, what's that?
Florida International.
Florida International. Penn State, South Carolina, Memphis, Louisville's ranked. Louisville's, they only played two ranked teams out of all of them. Anyway, there you go, University of Central Florida. Maybe they make a lot of these southern teams. Maybe they rank a lot of these southern teams because they know it's a, you know, football is king in the South, and they don't want to piss off any of the alumni there. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. I do know the alumni at a lot of those southern schools. They're quite into their football. Very charming people. I had the great fortune, Frank and I, to be at a Alabama alumni party during one of their football games a number of years ago. Very charming, very wealthy, very wealthy, very moneyed men.
All right, that's good for you, Margaret.
Well.
Anyway, we'll be back here with Coach Dozier. Vernon Dozier is going to be with us, and he is going to be talking to us about how he views these college football rankings. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com.
Come on.
There you go, Margaret.
Oh, this, I love this song. This is do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, I love it. Do-do-do-do-do.
Let's go, girls.
Hi, everyone. This is Margaret Gray. I love this song. This is called Feel Like a... Now, I have the lyrics here. Do you want me to sing?
Go ahead.
Hold on for a minute. You've got to start it again.
Do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Wanna make some noise.
Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. No inhibitions. Yeah, girls.
This song sucks.
Turn it off, bud. The song sucks.
It does. It just sucks.
You know something, Phil? I'm glad I'm not a man. You guys have no fun. You have no idea what it is to be a woman and to feel it. You know?
Well, I know what it is to feel a woman, though. Ow!
Don't say that. You know she's going to belt you.
You better believe next time I'll bring something heavier.
That means a gun. That was on Sopranos.
No, it doesn't mean a gun.
It means a bag full of ball bearings.
Why do you hesitate?
Because I was afraid I was going to say the F word. Anyway, I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wow, wow, wow. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. See, that's what I do, Phil, and I think that's a signature move of mine, and a lot of people are copying it now. Everyone loves to do the multitude of notes, the falsetto. I pioneered that along with the young lady from the Steels, the gal that sang, I am falling you. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Beautiful song, isn't it?
Yes, it is a beautiful, from Baghdad Cafe, yeah. Javetta Steele.
Javetta Steele, that's the woman, excuse me.
God, Margaret, just put this table in.
I said, excuse me. So what I like to do is the same thing. I'm gonna go out, I'm feeling all right, do-do-do, see? And then we hit the big note. The best thing about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun. Is that?
Yeah, those are really the lyrics?
I don't remember those at all.
The prerogative to have a little fun. What's that mean?
Well, you got the right to have fun.
Everybody knows they got the right. Here's America.
Yeah, I know, but she's just singing that. All right, let's forget about that.
Oh, yeah, let's just forget about that.
Well, Margaret, do you want to keep singing it?
I would like to give people, because I'm going to do this weekend at the Kangaroo.
Oh, I thought you were doing the adult set.
Well, it's not all going to be adult. I'm going to go out. I'm feeling all right. Going to let it all hang out. Let's see. I want to make some noise. Really raise my voice. Oh, yeah, right here. Yeah, I want to scream and shout. Wow. No inhibitions. Make no condition. And then right here. Get a little out of line. See?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it ought to work.
You know, you don't lie very...
I'm not lying. It sounds like it ought to work. All right, Vernon Dozier joining us here on our newsmaker line. Our number of 855-500-7445. Of course, you can join in with us here. And Vernon is joining us from Glendale, California. Looking at the top 25, Vernon, had a lot of very interesting conversations off air and on with the crew here about the rankings.
Well, the rankings in college football are controlled, Phil, by the computer, BCSC, as I should say. The other rankings, and I think I see it behind you as well, You have the other rankings, are AP, and those are both mostly controlled by the coaches.
Well, I'm looking at the Legends poll, the Harris poll. They'll give you your choice, but I'm looking at the AP Top 25.
Yeah, the AP Top 25 is going to be football writers and coaches. The BCS standings, obviously, those are the computer, as Margaret and the other folks, you guys are kidding around, call it the mother-father computer. Well, you know, in a way, I think you need to respect that this is a computer, Phil, that has been fed and programmed with all of the pertinent information that college football has to offer. And that is everything from statistics of individual players to statistics of the overall offensive, defensive performance of the team, special team performance, the team's histories, the team's tendencies, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I don't want to get too over the top here, but this is a very, very, very sophisticated computer, and I don't blame you for joking. I suppose you can, but please keep in mind that for some of us, it is how we live our lives. And
what do you mean by that?
When you say how you live your lives...
Well, this is... football is my life. But the computer, the BCS computer, is the arbiter of the very blood, if you will, of that life. The blood of the life that I live is the football team, the players, the records, and the actual life, if you will. If, for instance, the... And I'm not making a comparison here, so please understand, but... If the life of Christianity is the life of Jesus Christ, then the life of college football is the very living tissue of the college football game.
Well, when you say living tissue, Coach, that's the part that's...
It sounds almost, I don't know, reverentially, you know, religious.
No, it's not religious. No, but what it is, it's not religious, but it is reverential, and it is something that... We do not joke about for fear that the computer itself is going to deliver information that we are not going to, that's not really going to uplift our lives. In fact, well, so we talk about the BCS computer in the way that one would talk about anything that has that kind of that provides the life that we have. See, I've got a good life. I'm not saying anything bad. I've got a great life. And why do I have a great life? It's what you all were joking when you said the mother-father computer. It's not the mother-father computer. The BCS computer is the life. It is the life and the blood.
See, that sounds like Jesus.
No, it's not Jesus. No.
Well, it does. I think Bud's right. It's when you said the life and the blood.
No. I'm saying that the BCS computer is our sacrament, if you want to call it a religion. It's not religious, okay?
All right, if it's not religious, then don't use a religious term like sacrament. What would you call it?
Well, I would call it, then I would call it the mother-father. I would call it the arbiter. I would call it the patriarch. It is the patriarch. It is the mater pater. It is mater and pater.
Wait, are you saying pay dirt?
No, I'm saying pater.
Mater, pater, as in matriarch, patriarch.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the BCS computer for myself, for college football coaches, for college football players, and more importantly, for college football fans. The BCS computer is a tool that we look to, that we have our faith, that we put our faith in, that we are confident. Because we know that it cares for us. And again, I don't want to be religious, as Phil said, but I know that when I get up in the morning, there is a... I don't want to call it love, because it's a machine, but I feel as if I've got something going with it, you know?
What?
What do you mean you got something going with it?
Hold on. I'm not...
Well, that sounds rather...
I've got to tell you, Coach Robert, you know, it sounds like when you say about a girl, you know.
No. When you talk about a girl, I got something going with a girl. You're talking about you're going steady with her. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that the BCS computer, as a football coach,
I can look at those stats and I get something out of it. Another coach looks at them, he gets something else out of it. But I feel like the BCS computer and I have, how do I put this? We got something going on, you know, and it feels right.
That sounds. I don't know what you mean by it feels right.
No, you got to get your mind, Phil, as my father used to say, and I don't mean that literally to you, but you know, get your mind out of the gutter.
Why wouldn't, when you say that you have something going with the BCS computer and it feels right?
That's not a gutter thing. It's what I've got with the BCS computer is far above the gutter. Understand that, please.
Well, Vernon...
No, hold on, Margaret. Please understand and give me some respect. And give the BCS computer the respect you give a computer, not a human. But I'm saying what I've got going with the BCS computer is not a gutter thing at all, and I'm very offended. I treat that computer, if I could, I would treat it with... it would not be a filthy, filthy, dirty... I don't think in filth terms. Some coaches may. Some coaches may think of the BCS computer and think of filthy, dirty things to do to it. I don't.
What are you talking about, Coach? I mean, are you talking about...
What am I talking about? I'm sitting there. Am I talking to myself?
What, when you're talking about the BCS computer ranking football teams and games, what do you mean you got something going with it and the other coaches may have filthy, dirty thoughts about it?
I didn't say they've got filthy, dirty... I said that the other coaches look at the BCS computer like it's some kind of a filthy thing that will do anything they ask it to do. And it won't. It takes the information. It's a truthful computer. I believe that it tells the truth. I believe that it doesn't just... I know it sounds like sex, but... And it's not. But at the same time, I get angry if I think about that computer just sticking it out there for... You know, just any coach, and I know it's hard for you to understand that.
Well, yeah, it's you got to hold on here, okay? Because I got to take a break.
Yeah, but you're leaving me hanging, looking like a...
I got to take a break, Coach. I'll be right with you here. Everything he's saying makes me more nervous and more nervous and more nervous. We'll be right back here with more from Coach Vernon Doja, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, welcome back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. What camera are we on here? And if you're watching us on Phil TV in HD, you can see behind me there are the rankings of the college football teams across the country. Number one is Alabama. Number two, Florida State. Number three, Oregon. Number four, Ohio State. Five is Stanford. Six is Baylor. Seven is Clemson.
You say Baylor with a surprise.
Well, Baylor, it's been a while since, and again, you're listening here tonight, folks, not that you haven't guessed this already, to a guy who's not the most well-versed when it comes to college football, but some of these teams are, you know, Missouri and Baylor, I never thought of as having big-time programs, so they're there, Auburn and Oklahoma, and then Miami and places like that. Now, Miami was ranked seventh. They got their ass handed to them by Florida State. On the line with us is Coach Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Coach Dozier has coached at the professional level as well as the college level. He's now a head football coach there at Belmar, which is a CIF, a high school program. Coach, do you buy Alabama as number one?
No, I do not. And for the very reasons that you just gave, you mentioned that Alabama has, I think they've got a schedule that in areas is super soft. And the same thing with some of these opponents of theirs. You're looking at the SEC teams. Tennessee has played some real weird nowhere teams. And I think the team that's number one in the nation right now is Florida State. I think what they did to Miami... Miami should forever feel disgraced by that. I think what was done to Miami, I wouldn't want any child of mine to know about it. If I had been a part of that team, I would certainly not want my wife to know about it. Because...
Well, what happened to Miami? My God, it sounds like there was a sexual assault.
Well, I mean, no. What I'm saying is Miami was...
Miami got their ass kicked. I mean, it was a beating... Like, I don't think anybody really... Well, maybe they did. Anybody that knows anything about college football probably was expecting something along those lines. But Miami lost 41-14 to Florida State last weekend. Miami was ranked 7th in the country. But look, here is another example. Look at Miami's schedule. Savannah State, 77-7. That's not even, Coach, you know, tell me, man, that's not a big time college football program.
What, Miami?
No, Savannah State.
Oh no, Savannah State, and South Florida, and look, some of these ball clubs, you wonder what they're thinking. I understand that they schedule some of these teams, as you were saying, Phil, to give these ball clubs a big gate to let some of these little tiny schools have a big team on their schedule to bring the fans out. It's a lot of fun. So it benefits the small school. It benefits the big school. But don't make any mistake about it. When you beat a Savannah State 77-7, you might as well throw that game out. And I think to that end, I think you'll find that the BCS computer that I've been talking about here, that you've questioned its validity, and I have to ask you to just remember who you're talking to when you talk to me or you talk to other football coaches and people who adhere to the college football rankings of the BCS. Have some respect for us and understand that the BCS computer is something that is integral to not only my life, but it's integral to the man that I am.
See, here we go again, you know.
What does that mean, here we go again, you know?
Well, we're talking about a computer, Coach. We're not talking about...
You're talking about that computer, Coach Dozier, as if it is Jesus Christ.
Excuse me, ma'am. No, I am not. I have not attributed that. That's very offensive.
Well, you're talking about it as if it's some sort of religious totem of some kind.
No, ma'am. I have said... No, ma'am, I've not attributed God status to that computer, nor have I said it's performed any kind of an act that you or I would think is unusual.
Well, okay, now, see, I'm hearing you kind of qualify something.
Yeah, it sounds almost like you don't want to say it did a miracle, but maybe it did.
No, I didn't say that at all. I feel ganged up on here.
Well, I'm not trying to do that, Coach, because I honestly don't. I want to talk strictly about the rankings, but you got this BCS computer. You said something before the break that we were talking about. You said the BCS computer, you got a thing going on.
Okay, yeah, look, I'm not a joke, all right, and I'm not going to be brought on your national radio show, so let's parade Coach Dozier on a Friday night because the football games are this weekend and make him look like a whole...
Look, Coach, I'm not doing that. I apologize, okay?
Well, what's with the laugh?
You said that you felt that you and the BCS computer had an understanding.
Yes, I did say that.
Okay. And it bordered on...
No, it did not border on sex, because, as I said, I have too much respect for the BCS computer. You know, let me say this, Phil, okay? Yes, there are those of us who are fortunate enough to understand how that computer works and what it ultimately wants in this world, this crazy world of ours, and we have enough respect for it that we're biding our time until, you know... I'm not saying too much because I don't know whether I have a sympathetic audience here.
What are you talking about, biding your time?
See, that's what I mean right there, Dickman. You should not have let him speak. Because when I hear his voice, I get frightened. I want to go into a bomb shelter somewhere when I hear him.
Coach, let's not blame this on Bud. Continue your thought. You said you'll be honest with us what?
I'm saying that the BCS computer is something that I have great respect for, and I'm not going to disrespect it with filthy thoughts that I know a lot of other coaches have. And I know coaches are thinking about the BCS computer in the most filthy and disrespectful ways, like the BCS computer is there sticking its, you know... I don't know how to say this to you, because I don't want to come across sounding like I like pornography, but can you imagine a BCS computer parking it on a guy? It makes me angry, that's all.
And parking what?
Parking what?
Coach, it's a computer, man. It's a computer.
Oh, yeah, okay, man. All right, man. I'm sorry, man. I didn't know that it was a computer, man.
Coach, he's not trying to be some hippie. I know you hate hippies. That's just how Phil talks.
I know that's how he talks. That's why I'm, you know, sort of moderately amused that I'm kind of humoring him.
You're humoring me. You just got done saying that the BCS computer parks at something or other.
Well, three guesses.
How about this? It's ass?
You know, never mind.
Well, you said a BCS computer is parking its ass.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think he's working too hard. I think that guy is stretched too thin. I think he needs to take some time off. You know.
Well, he's a high school coach, Phil.
Hey, let me tell you something. Those high school coaches work every bit as hard as the pro guys and the college guys, and the high school guys have other jobs they got to do. Some of those guys, like Coach Dozier there, he's the social sciences teacher. He also is the senior class advisor. He's the varsity football coach. He also coaches baseball. I mean, he's got a million other things he's doing. And they live just like any other football coach, with the game film and with the game plan, and I think he's nuts. I think he's...
Well, I mean, you know, it can go either way.
Go either way? Hey, I got a thing with the BCS computer that these other coaches don't respect, and they think in filthy thought...
They think what?
They're think... You heard him. They think filthy thoughts about the BCS computer. In other words, it's almost like the BCS computer is Vernon's sister. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. Back with our final hour of the show here tonight on this Friday night. In a minute.